Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Everybody, it is Sunday night.
It's Saturday. Tomorrow, Sunday.
Should we start over?
No, just leave it. Leave it in.
Screw it. We'll do it live. It's Saturday night. I'm so blown by a road wind that I have no idea what to do when we're recording this. But it's I assume Wednesday night when you're listening to this. This is the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Gaming Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. I didn't even need to look at the screen to do that this time.
And you didn't know what day it was.
I know. The ice cream sandwiches just killed me. Across the table from me, when was the first show? I can't remember the date, but what year was it?
2014.
14, yeah.
So, and it was like summer of that year, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
So, roughly 4 years since you made the hike down to my place. Now we finally returned the favor and you cooked pork products for us this time.
Yeah, and we have Jake. The podcast has grown.
Ah, we've got Dan's here, we've got Jake here, there's a ferret running around, there's a baby possum loose in my house an hour and a half away, and I'm doing this instead of driving home and evicting it, because this won't give me rabies properly.
Hopefully not. I mean, you never know.
All right. Well, our plan was we were gonna do this like, you know, half before and half after. We gotta start with the game though, don't we?
Yeah, I would assume so. Right, what else we got?
We're just gonna go with the same form. So minutes ago, it ended. Even in the best of seasons, even in, you know, normal form, I don't think anyone expects a 3-0 win from the Rowdies on the road. Let alone from the second hat trick in modern Rowdies history, Sebastian Guinzotti, with three in the game before making way for Jordy later in the second half. There were no red cards. There were no penalty kicks. There wasn't really anything controversial decision-wise.
It's amazing what happens when we can play soccer, right? Like, we can win games and score goals.
So that's two wins at North Carolina. Can we play there every week? We have to modify the chant for that.
It's weird that we're asking to play on the road and not home this season. What is 2018?
Garbage fire.
Yeah.
Overall. And you have to get a tattoo?
Yeah, I didn't expect Guinzotti to be the one to score a hat trick, but here we are. Now time to design a Rowdy's tattoo that I have to get.
So Guinzotti, who had the assist on the last one? It wasn't Fleming, was it? He didn't get three assists.
No, it was Leo.
Leo
Fernandez. Okay. Alright, well, we'll do the... What's the good, bad, ugly?
I mean, Guinzotti scored a hat trick. We looked good on the counter. It was just a great... I don't have any ugly, definitely. Bads, I mean...
I don't think there's any bad, really.
No, it was a good all-around game. And we counterattacked and were clinical when we created chances, which I don't think we've ever said about the Rowdies, that they were clinical with their chances.
All three goals were on counterattack, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
We haven't played this well since the first game of the season.
Yeah, I would say.
In terms of being efficient with our chances and I mean, it's been a long time since that game. I don't. No one in this room expected that to be the result tonight, right?
No, I expected a draw at best.
I mean, like we planned out this whole pulled pork meal on the big green egg and sides and ice cream sandwiches just to make the trip up here worth it for everyone, assuming that it wasn't going to happen in the end. I will give credit to Rowdy's PR guy, Nico Castillo, who last week at the Cincinnati game told me he thought Sebastian was going to have a good game up top, and, you know, refereeing factors, weather, the turf conditions, whatever. I think tonight is what Nico thought he was going to see. So good call on that, Nico, or maybe you just yelled at him during the week and you got his crap together. Jake, what do you think? Good, bad, ugly? Anything Dan didn't cover already?
Oh, good. I would have to say I really loved Seba's finish on that first goal. Like, that's such an easy one just to pound right at the keeper. But he managed to chip it just perfectly and not chip it over the bar or anything like that. And I think burying that one, and like, I looked at you when I went in, I'm like, did that count? I kept waiting for the ref to wave offside. Or
every goal, it's like, was there a red card? Was it offside? Like,
so I think creating that chance against the front of play and then making it look easy and kind of give team confidence to carry out the rest of the match, really. Because they defend, North Carolina had possession for most of the night, really. But they didn't give up a ton of chances until like the last 10 minutes or so, when they gave up some cheap headers in the box, I thought. But for the most part, I thought it was a well-defended game, too.
Yeah, I haven't looked up the final stats yet, but I know halftime it was something like, 60-40 possession for North Carolina, but we were two shots on target, two goals. And then, but Molly on Twitter points out, wasn't there an on-target shot in the first half that was saved pretty easy? Or are we all thinking of Sebastian's fourth possible?
I think that was the fourth chance.
I kind of thought there was one earlier in the first half, but...
It might have been whistled?
Yeah.
John Blank?
Yeah.
No, I was listening to the ferret getting into stuff.
Is it the ferret or is it the house mouse?
Yeah, it might be the possum.
All right, so while Dan wanders away momentarily, we'll go ahead. I guess we'll do man of the match, and I think this is a relatively easy one. Jake, I'll let you lead off.
We have to give it to Seba because finishing chances has been a huge problem, and he really did a great job on 3 out of 4. That fourth one wasn't so great, but when you finish 3 first off to start, so you can forget that one. But it's obviously Seba, but close second is Flemings as well. He had a very active game. He caused some havoc for North Carolina and really and obviously created those two chances for Seba.
Yeah, I'd say the goals for Seba, but his first goals of the season coming this late in the year, and to get a hat trick in that game, you got to give it to him. He's probably a leading contender for player of the week now, I would assume.
Give it to him.
I'll go for it.
Yeah.
Do you get a vote in that trick?
Am I allowed to say I do?
I don't know. I guess so.
I do, yes.
Because we always hear about them, getting votes from independent media and whatever, and it was like, no one's ever asked us. We just got asked to
We're
do
not very independent media.
I think Nico nominated me last year, and then they just carried it over.
Okay.
I think it's like 2 people from every market, so I'm not sure the second it made Derek Sharp.
Okay.
Quite possible.
So we are kind of represented in the least. I like that. All right. Flemings had a great night, especially recovering from a near mortal wound to a parentheses sensitive region. There were some incidents with the. It was not overly physical, but there were some hits that were left an impression.
I mean, soccer's a contact sport, as much as people like to make fun of it, but...
Bill Edwards told me so.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit. But, I mean, and that's kind of impressive. There was the Steinberger thing where he was down for a while and
he wasn't going to be able to continue.
Was limping off, but I thought, for a game that had some physicalness to it like that, I thought the ref did a pretty good game. Here's how I know. I don't know what his name was.
You don't know his name. There was no crazy screaming about a call. Like, that's what soccer is, right? Like, that's what it is, There were some collisions. You blow the whistle, call a foul. There was a couple yellow cards, but nothing crazy.
Right.
Both teams were able to play their game, and this is what happened. And, I hate, but refereeing has been a hot topic lately.
But look, we don't have, well, other than the article, we don't have to talk about it tonight. This is fantastic. So, next week is, what, another, it's another road game next week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Charleston.
All right, so we'll be back here to do pork and ice cream sandwiches again?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Jake, you're not allowed to go back to New York.
You changed my flight plan.
You're going to have to fly down for road games.
Yeah.
You know, now that you've got that like open invite to talk to Bill, you can just say, look, we know you've got the private plane you can use when it's needed.
Yeah, sure. I don't think that was included.
Just explain it to him.
It's always included.
Yeah. Oh, it's part of the life we live around.
Yeah. If helicopters drive the field before we have tarps, they'll fly you around.
All right, so now we go to, we move to, what was it, 8 wins, 11 losses, 7 draws. We're no longer the palindrome record. 31 points, which for tonight, at least for right now, I don't know if you're looking it up, I think bumped us into like 11th.
12th was the last I saw.
12th, okay.
Because Charlotte was winning, right, in their match? So in the live standings, they were ahead by a point still.
And then Richmond picked up a point tonight, too, drawing with Indy, so...
Gross.
Feels good. We're still not where we'd like to be. And
currently in 12th.
Currently in 12th. What's 31 points? Who are we level with?
Nobody. We're on our own. Charlotte ahead with 32. North Carolina 34. Ottawa 35. Nashville with 38.
And Nashville's the last playoff team?
So yep.
Still 7 points out of playoff spot. What about the games in hand? I know we got a couple on some of the teams.
We're... We got 2 games in hand on Ottawa, 1 on Charlotte, and Nashville and North Carolina both have played 26 like us. So, I mean, Bethlehem is, they're 10 points ahead of us, or 11 points ahead of us, and so I don't think we'll catch them.
So who, looking at that, like, who could we reasonably catch? What's a if by some miracle they pull this off, what's the probable... Like, we're looking at, like, what, 8th, maybe 7th?
Is 7th in reach at all?
Yeah, because it's the Rebels, too, and we got a game in hand on them, and they got 40 points. So if we go on a run, and they falter a little bit, it's possible to get into 7th and play. I'd rather probably be in 8th, to be honest, because I don't want to play Louisville in Louisville.
Because that's 8th, you're going to get Cincinnati.
Yes.
That's 4
right.
down conclusion.
Yeah, they're, what, 13 good. Points ahead?
Yeah.
But I don't want to play Louisville and Louisville. I'd rather play Cincy and Cincy. Yeah, I think we have a bigger chance.
They're just Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
And the Pittsburgh and Louisville seem to be swapping that second and third spot over and over. Like, if I could miss 2 teams in the first round, yeah. I mean, Cincy's a dominant team this year, but it's still a team without a playoff win. So, yeah, a lot of the guys that are on that team are new this year. It's not going to be as much of a thing with them, but... It would be nice to knock Cincy out in the first round again if we happen to get in there. I'm still not getting my hopes up, but if you play like this, you know, I guess it's possible.
I'm not getting my hopes up until like I see the Rowdies winning 2 games in a row again, which they haven't done since week one and week two. Like I want to believe, but I can't until like playoff teams. You have to win 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
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 You just have to. Like, doesn't matter where you're playing. Doesn't matter your home or away, your turf or grass, whatever. You get the job done, really.
I mean, can we talk about how Ottawa has a -10 goal differential, and yet they're sitting in 9th place, 3 points behind Nashville?
What's their record?
10-13-5. They got 2 games, or Nashville's got 2 games in hand on them, and they're 3 points ahead.
So they draw a ton of games.
Yeah. No. 8 games, yeah. Or 5 games they drew. They've lost 13-1. It's pretty much feast or famine with Ottawa.
So really, they are where they are because they've played, what, 2 more games than a lot of teams?
Charlotte's got a -13 goal differential, and they're a point ahead of us.
What's ours at right now?
0.
Charlotte is secret, like,
back to
0.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's why I was so mad about when Rowdy tied them. I know we were like happy because they came back and scored that awesome late goal.
But we shouldn't have been behind.
Yeah.
I was just happy I didn't drive all the way to see a loss.
Right.
At that point.
And I think my favorite, wow, Atlanta 2 and Toronto 2 both with, holy crap, Richmond has a -36 goal differential?
And we couldn't beat them.
-36. That's the worst in the East. Mm. I should look at stats more often. So, this is fun.
I'm trying to think.
It's the worst in the league.
I'm trying to recall the rest of the schedule. I know the Rowdies play Atlanta twice more. Two more times.
Yeah. Charleston once.
Richmond.
Bethlehem.
And then Nashville.
Nashville.
Now, if you are able to, obviously, score a win against Nashville, that'd be huge, because they're sitting in eighth at the moment. But obviously, I would say I'd be happy. I'd obviously love a win, but I think a draw would be okay in Charleston.
I think that's a draw. We should beat Atlanta United at 2 at home.
You cannot do anything less than a win against Atlanta and Richmond in those two matches. It's you're not doing anything, really.
I mean, and then we got then it's Nashville, Richmond, Indy, and then Atlanta, Charlotte here, and Bethlehem. So
that's a lot of winnable games.
Yes, and you know, and pretty much everybody but Richmond and Atlanta is above us. So we need to be winning these games.
That's so weird to say. Like, all these teams are above us at this point in the season.
I won't take anything for granted. When I say something's winnable, that means like it's possible. They should be able to do it, but they have lost winnable games. A lot of winnable games.
I guess with some of these same teams we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think we can do it, and if hopefully, I feel like it's the second, we're going into the second game of the season again. We beat North Carolina.
Right.
In North Carolina, there's creeping optimism that we might be good. And I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop again. In 2 weeks, you know, some crazy crap's going to happen, and we're going to be screwed.
All right, so
how worried were you when Junior Fleming's went down?
That was it. If Junior Fleming's went down...
Yeah.
The second half there. For a second, I thought he was done.
Anything else about the game?
No.
Because you kind of like said something, and I was going to use that to lead into the next part, right. So... talking about something else crazy happening this season. You and I have both read, Jacob. You said you haven't had a chance to read it yet. But that article in The Athletic, like, it's one thing, and we've been talking about this, it feels like, every week, about this is a weird season. Like, this is not just the regular kind of crazy crap that happens every year. There's some bizarre stuff going on. And to read that article in The Athletic, and if you're not a subscriber, I think you could at least get a free trial.
I think they do 3 free articles a month on the app.
Okay.
I think that was what I read.
Are you a subscriber? Were you able to click it when I sent that link to you?
No, I didn't download the app.
So, because I don't know if that comes out from behind the paywall or not, but there's more information about in there. That, you know, the whole the circumstances around Stu being let go. Crazy trying to find a bus that would get them to Jacksonville. Some more details about the Ivan Renard thing. Like, it feels good to hear someone else say some crazy crap.
Yeah, we were talked about it before the game and whatnot. Like, when Joe Cole, who's been in England squads, Chelsea, Roy Hodgson Liverpool side, when they were signing Paul Konchesky, you know, like, it's just, when he says you could write a book on this season, you know things have been crazy. It's just, it's been that kind of year with Marcel, like, oh, just kidding, I got to go to Wolfsburg because they need me, and Wolfsburg coming clutch and winning their first 2 games.
I got to say, I hate to see Marcel go, but at least it's proving that they made the right move there.
Yeah, it's just been that kind of year that there's no explanation. Like, I've never seen a coach mid-season, captain the team, get home, wake up the next morning, and become the coach.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever see that again either.
So I remember, you know, when that whole thing went down, and, you know, Neil kind of was like, oh, yeah, I was, you know, kind of totally surprised by it. But then in this interview, he's kind of like, you know, on the bus ride back, Stu was quiet. Everyone kind of had a sense of what was coming. And he got the call that night that Bill wanted to see him in the morning, and he was up till 4 a.m. thinking about what, you know, what he was going to say. So it seemed like he had kind of an idea was coming.
Well, I mean, I think everybody knew at that point Stu was done.
Yeah.
I think he means he didn't expect to be coaching. I think he, you know, thought he was going to, there would be a change.
Right.
He'd want Bill, and everybody would want his input. He was one of the more veteran players, the leader. So he probably thought, hey, I'll go in, I'll give my input on what I'm looking for, what I want, and this, that, and the other. And next thing you know, he comes out of the meeting as the coach of the team. It's just,
what other sport would that happen? What other? It's just nuts. Even Louisville, when they have their like three-headed hydra of player coaches, brought in a coach. We were like, hey, you're our best center back.
You've played every minute of every game this season and most of last season. How about you stop doing that?
Yeah, like, you should just, you know, sit over here.
So if you get a chance, check that out. I can't remember the guy's name who wrote it, but everyone who read it has been making sure to leave encouraging comments below about it's nice to see Rowdy's content on The Athletic. Now, if you could just get them somehow added to the, because you can, like, in the app, you can pick the teams, like, your favorites that you want to hear stuff about. Like, you can pick Detroit City in the app, but we haven't gotten the Rowdies in there yet. So, if we're going to have, you know, content on a regular basis, then let's put that in there. And it also usually does, like, you know, notifications for game events and stuff like that. So, I thought it was
Joe Smith.
That's what I thought the name was. And then it just seemed like it was too witness protection program to be right. The other article that came out, yesterday?
Yesterday.
And Dan, do you have any idea that was coming?
No.
Jake, like, got the birthday present on us there. Yeah. like, I'm driving home from work, and I'm just trying not to, you know, get an accident in the rain for the fifth time this week, because it pours every day, and all of a sudden my phone's going crazy.
What the hell is this?
And it's, oh, here's a story about Bill and referees. This should be interesting. So, Jake, that was you. Tell us how this all happened.
Yeah, so I heard that Bill Edwards might have some opinions about refereeing last week in the Cincinnati match. He might want to share some stuff. So I got on the phone with him and I asked him what he thought about the Cincinnati match, and he proceeded to go on for about 10 minutes uninterrupted. Occasionally I would go, And then when there was a phone interview, there'd be a pause, and I'm like, and then he'd start again. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of what you, it's nothing surprising. Bill Edwards has done this before. I guess the new stuff is that he told me, obviously, that he's been bringing this issue up of the continued incompetence, was the word that he kept using, of pro referees at league meetings. And he says that he's not the only owner frustrated. I don't know. I haven't heard from any other owner. But Bill is the only one who's publicly coming out and saying anything about it. So I did ask him, well, are you worried, or do you think that people will just dismiss you as being the guy at the Sour Grapes whose team can't make the playoffs? And he's like, oh, no, I'm not. Go ask Charleston. They're having a bad week too. I'm sure they'll give you some tasty opinions or whatever. But yeah, basically, so he mentioned that him and other owners have brought it up to the league and pro referees, and he kind of threw out the suggestion of forming a independent bipartisan committee to evaluate referees based on their performances, which sounds like a decent idea. It sounds like just a kernel of an idea, though, something that would obviously need a lot of planning and thought, and who would run it, and, I mean, does U.S. soccer get involved in something like that? I mean, who gets involved? Like, it's a big issue.
I think, I mean, just off the top of my head, a pro person, a member from, because it's what? They do MLS, pro does MLS and USL, right?
And NWSL, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Maybe have a panel of, you know, one of each representative of each league and somebody from pro, and they evaluate. But it's really, I mean, the point of the article, like, that I think I highlighted in my tweet when I retweeted it was, it's harming the product on the field. And I think it was David tweeted with a reply that somebody stood up in the stands and said he wasn't, he's been since modern era Rowdies had season tickets every year, and he's saying the same thing. Like, if this gets better, he's not going to renew his tickets. Because, I mean, to me that's a little overboard, but at the same time, it's harming the product. Like, when you're that angry and the officiating is taking over the games, you're there to watch a soccer game.
It's not even just about, like, big, huge, controversial calls where you get a red card or a penalty. It's like, some of these refs, there's been a couple of times at Al Lang this year, I've noticed... when you get a ref who is, I don't know, very controlling, like you get conned in stoppages. He's falling.
Yes.
Either he just wants to let you know he's there, or maybe he's being duped by a team's flopping or whatever. Who's constantly stopping, so there's no flow to the match. And people in the stands can obviously tell when that's going on, and that does not help with the image of the league or the Rowdies, I guess.
No, you're there to watch a game of two teams of 11 men go back and forth, shoot, tackle, pass, these things. You're not there, free kick, couple things, whistle, free kick. It's boring. Starting and stopping is boring. Nobody wants to see that. And we're there to watch these guys play, not some guy, you know, blow a whistle and flash a couple cards. So it definitely affects the product. Like, if I'm, especially if you're a casual and you're just coming there, you're in St. Pete for a game, you're like, oh, cool, let's stop, let's see. And then that's what you see, these refs starting and stopping, like you said. And, you know, you're just going to be like, it's minor league soccer and the refs are minor league and I'm gone.
So, I saw this pop up near the end of the game, and I was watching just on Twitter, and it's not related to this, but there was some MLS game tonight. I'm not sure which two sides it were, but Zach Wani's a former Sounders player. I don't think he still plays for him. I don't know. But it's probably the worst red card decision I've ever seen in MLS, and that's saying something, and they even used VAR.
It was the Chad Marshall red. I watched it while we were watching the game. He kind of turns and does, and the guy jumps kind of over. I don't even know if he makes contact.
Right.
And they called it an excessive like contact or something, and red card after using VAR. And he, like, you can tell that Chad Marshall, he was getting the ball. He didn't even know the guy was there, and he kind of turned. And when he turned, the guy like leapt over, kind of like in the Cincy red when and they gave him a red for it.
So another guy I follow on Twitter quotes that and says that. And this kind of applies to the situation, kind of what you just said. I don't understand how MLS can't grasp that consistently terrible refereeing is as destructive to their core market of dedicated supporters as consistently terrible play would be to their prospective market of casual fans. Like,
yeah.
You might have a lot of people in that stadium who don't know the ins and outs and what necessarily is a yellow or a red, and they just kind of go, okay. But for the ones who do, and these are usually your immediate season ticket renewal people, and it's not even about, like, you don't want to support the team anymore, but what's the point of spending the money if, you know, you put your effort into being there, into, you know, like, the mob and the guys coming out of the TIFO, and we did two polls and everything, and everything you do is just going to be completely undone by something that's ridiculous like that.
Yeah, like, you know, I think worse than the Cincy one to me, like, the two penalty calls, was the New York Red Bulls game at home. When we scored two quick ones, and then Junior Fleming's got that ridiculous red at the end of the half, because that changed everything. Like, I mean, yeah, the Cincy one did too, but Diakite didn't do himself favors. Junior Fleming's didn't really do anything wrong.
Right, exactly.
So it's those are the ones that bother me, because that ended up being a draw. But if you add, what was it like? If you added 2 points to our standings, we're not far off.
No. And then, was the card was overturned, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you go back to some of these cards, though, where the suspensions were upheld or not even protested, that's going to have an impact on the next 1 to 3 games, depending on the severity of the call.
Schaefer's card was reduced to one match.
Right.
Taylor's card was reduced to one match. And then
Fleming's was overturned.
Overturned. And then Diakite's was upheld.
Wasn't there a second one overturned?
No, I don't think so. I think there was
one right after Fleming's, like the next game or something.
I don't think so.
I thought there was two we had overturned.
I think there's just been 4 red cards this year.
Yeah, I'll double check.
Check and see. Maybe I'm just thinking about the ones being reduced.
Believe me, Bill Edwards outlined every single red card.
Okay, maybe it wouldn't have made too much. If you take that game, we'd be in 11th. And the Red Bulls would still be in 7th with like with 39, and we'd have 33.
Right.
But
then add 3 points for the Cincy game, which we like to think you would win that game. When you've got the man advantage, and you don't have players sent off like that, and you don't give up penalty decisions like that.
Right. So then we're sitting in 9th, pretty much, knocking on the door of Nashville, who are getting ready to play
with a lot of teams that we have games in hand for.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you know, games where the Rowdies just, you know, shit the bed. So
yeah.
And then you're back to, you know,
the same spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ottawa, and there's so many of them.
Richmond, that whole little trip in the beginning of the year. So, you know, we appreciate Bill reaching out to do that. Very on brand for us to have an article about refereeing.
Yeah.
Because first I was like, oh man, there's an article. We got an article about that. And then I was thinking, who initiated this at first? I got to hear this whole story. That's been a big couple of weeks for you, Jake. You had the Tam story. You had the Tam interview.
Yeah, that was pretty cool doing the Tam interview.
Yeah.
Maybe his last interview, I guess, as a player. Technically, he's already retired, but...
You want to talk about that for a few minutes?
Sure. Yeah.
Since we played it last weekend, though.
Yeah.
So the one thing that struck me, and I first got a chance to listen to it like an hour or so before it went on air, because I want to make sure I knew what was in there so I could talk about it also. Like, I had just kind of had the impression that he had something lined up and it had to be now, but it kind of seems like he's, you know, almost like, you know, skydiving without a parachute or something. Not necessarily in terms of taking unnecessary risk, but he's going to go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I wish him the best, honestly, but something obviously happened. I don't think this was a, you know, him just like, I'm not getting minutes right now because got the way this season went, you know.
I mean, he didn't sign a contract this year planning to have minutes, so I don't think it would have been
that
big of a deal to him.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I remember him getting the signing because it was midseason in the NASL, mm-hmm. and we were all talking about how we needed under Ricky Hill.
I think it was the week of July 4th.
Yeah, I think so. And we were all talking about how we needed a center back. And this guy, who I've never heard of, who I, at that point, didn't think I would ever be able to say his name.
Yeah.
We got him signed, and he had his cornrows.
And that's right, he still had the cornrows.
And ends up being one of the most solid players, like, ended up picking up that team, becoming the leader at the back. I mean, that season was a lost cause anyway.
Right.
But the following year, and he was Mr., you know, reliable back there. And it's kind of sad to see him go, especially because we couldn't even get up to that 100th appearance.
I swear, I spent at least one of those off seasons just like DMing you almost every day, like, Tam better be captain next year. Tam better be captain. And then he had the armband for the year, and then, what was it, Joe Cole came in the next year? Or the year after?
He had it for one year,
and then...
And then Joe Cole came in.
And Joe Cole, yeah.
2015, Tam had it, and then 16
Joe.
Yeah.
That's, you know, one of the things you said last week. I understand why in that game, in that situation, because talking to some of the staff, talking to some of the players and coaches before that Cincinnati game, they honestly do feel they're still in it. Whether we agree with it or not, they believe it. So,
you have to. Like,
I think you have to too. Right?
I'd be upset if they didn't, to
be
honest.
I mean, it's kind of our job to be the pessimist, I guess, but... if you really believe that and you're in that situation, you can't put Tam on when you're down a goal or when it's level. Maybe if you're up one or up two, you can get him in as a third sub for a few minutes.
So you know, they'd be pissed off at the ref for it.
Yeah, basically. I mean, we were up in the stands, you know, tracking every substitute came in, and it was like, all right, well, Tam's got to be next. Tam's got to be... Oh, it's not going to happen. I kind of felt like I jinxed it because I said I was looking forward to hearing Sudol introduce Tam one last time and didn't get to. But, and I said this last week at the end of the show, and I thought Mike hit it perfectly on his three things, was that, you know, Tam getting in for 5 minutes at the end of that game doesn't change anything about his legacy here in Tampa Bay. So, I don't know. Maybe Tam can get get cast as the next James Bond in the next week or so, and we can sign him to like a 1 week deal to get him in for an appearance in the last home game and call it fair.
Yeah, there's no difference between 99 and 100. It's not even just about the appearances either. It's about the kind of character that Tam was.
Yeah.
Honestly, as it's just a human being, really.
Now, if you somehow manage to get into the playoffs and win our way into the finals, then I think you signed Tam for one more game, just in case you get the chance to lift that trophy. Right? Yeah, you got to at that point.
Yeah. He's already out in California, though.
Maybe he's going to team up with Frankie Sanfilippo, and they're going to bring the 1904 FC back to NPSL Pro.
Oh, Frankie.
Oh, man. I was trying to think, is there anything else that's gone? Those are the two big articles I want to talk about. Is there anything else we need to go over right now?
I don't think so. I think we're good. And then, that was a heck of a game. I'm happy. This is weird. I know what his feeling was like with this team.
Like, we always look forward to doing a happy show when we win, but now it's like, we haven't done one of these in a while. Like, how does that work anymore? It's very, I don't know what to do with my hands tonight.
Yeah.
It feels very strange. Well, we're going to put this out there on Wednesday, because I have to be at back to school night until like 8:30 or something like that. Ridiculous time. So Dan will be playing this probably while you're coming up with tattoo ideas.
I'm getting a lot of texts about it right now.
Are people sending you like images and sketches and stuff?
I think so far my favorite was Luis Suarez biting my butt.
Oh, God.
That's good. That's
tasteful. Yeah.
Is that from Pendleton?
No.
That's Luis? Did he suggest it for himself?
No. Uruguay flag. I should get an emoji.
No, I know what you ought to get, since we're bringing up Louis. You, that picture of you riding piggyback on him in the Outland parking lot. Tattooed.
I wasn't piggybacking, I was just standing because he's so short.
I kind of like it better than piggyback. I mean, too bad they haven't invented like a motion tattoo yet that could get you twerking.
Oh.
Well, come on, that's a classic.
I forgot about that.
Good lord.
You didn't just forget about it, you deleted it from YouTube so I could see it.
It's true.
Oh, man. All right, so should we go ahead and wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up and then...
What are we on the time-wise right now?
35.
That's not too bad.
No, because we can... there might be more news or something. And
yeah, you can throw something in there. You can always like record something and then break in live if you need to.
Yeah.
Breaking news. You know, read the Discipline report or something.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
All right, so we love yous.
Seba, man, I'm gonna have a. I gotta figure out a tribute tattoo for his hat trick that's going permanently on my body.
What if you did like his face as an emoji, with three soccer balls over each one, with like the time of the goal? In
oh
the game.
God, maybe that would I can. I mean, who? Let me. I'll see if I can find.
But you gotta do it like over the heart.
Over the heart.
There you go.
That's a special spot. That would be for like a Georgie hat trick or a Taku hat trick.
Oh man. Alright, Jake, we love yous.
I'll throw one out to Dan for making us this delicious pulled pork that we had before the match.
Hell yes, that's what I was gonna do. For having us all come over here and make some fantastic pulled pork. While your neighbors beg to mow your yard for you.
Yeah. He's not only a neighbor. He's like some homeless dude that they hired to take care of $10 to take care of their lawn.
Oh, God. So he doesn't even live there. He's just... So, like, when I bought my house, they kind of had a guy like that, but he was living in the house, but there was, like, you know, it was one of those, like, mattress on a box spring on the floor, no other furniture, like, he might have had squatter's rights at this point. But he was doing everything but taking care of the yard, because the back, the grass was almost like roof high.
No, they pay him to do the gardening and everything because they're old and can't really move. So they pay this guy that like doesn't have a house, he lives in a van, and he comes over and he does their yard work. It's...
Do you think he knows how to get rid of baby possums?
He might.
You think he does tattoos?
He might. That's what worries me.
I mean, that would be a very Pasco County thing right there.
We don't want Monsters. A Pasco County...
Possum removal and mobile tattoo shop. I think we gotta hook that up.
No, I'm not. No, I don't want to pass. This is gonna be a quality tattoo. I already have a bad tattoo. I don't need any more bad tattoos.
You know, if only it could have happened last weekend when Nurse Jared was still in town.
Yeah, he could have done
the inquiry. He's already back in California too.
I think maybe we can. You know, the team will listen, and maybe we can do like an event and get like Seba to do a little like draw a couple of little bit of lines shading or something.
Could we combine this with the Big Storm haircut, and you get your haircut and inked at the same time?
Oh God!
Get like a
get it on the back of my head.
I still like the idea. Well, I don't even know if you're doing it in the same place, but just you know. Have both things happening at once. I still like my idea of giving you the reverse mohawk with shave down the middle and then like tattoo that area blonde like Fleming.
I'll just do that. I'll have him shave the center and just bleach. If you would have had a hat trick, that's what I could have done.
Because you figure it'll grow back in, but it'll still be there, and you know, every now and then you just shave it and freak people out.
No, that's okay. We'll figure this tattoo out. And all right.
What the heck? So I jokingly said it earlier. It's like, you know, it's about 10 o'clock last night, I watched the Tijuana game, the parts of the USWNT that ESPN decided to put on air finally, because they didn't start airing it until the 41st minute since the tennis match ran late. Then Liverpool was at, like, what, 7:45 or 7:30 this morning? And I watched a chunk of that. And then I watched the whole Wolfsburg match before coming here. And I said, all right, everybody won. Now it's your turn, Rowdies. And
it never happens that way, though.
No, it never does.
It never happens. Today we got the full experience of wins.
Like, I know there's a guy who's gone back and analyzed all the events to figure out when Ice Cube's good day was. But I'm changing the date to today.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So, I mean, we might have more later. Or if not, this is our show.
All right. So, thank you, as always, to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Big Storm, to Shamrock, to Mickey Quinn's, to all of Dan's friends who bought him that big green egg for his birthday so that we could put Dan's deliciously seasoned and exquisitely rubbed meat into our mouths and elicit all kinds of marvelous sensations. And thanks, as always, to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier for MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. They're going to drop us if we keep doing allusions to your meat in this, aren't we?
Probably. You should cut that out.
But it was so well worded.
Yeah, well, it was well done.
Very proud of that.
The meat wasn't well done. It was... Anyway. Well, talk to you guys next week. We're gonna play the outro and peace.
See ya. The